righty. Well, no video this morning. So we're just going to have no podium either. I'm be totally sitting this whole time, so I hope you're okay with that. Let's be honest, though. You've seen me preach before. You know I'm not going to be able to sit down the whole time. But we'll give it the old college try, I suppose. So let's start by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious, excuse me, and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and for your mercy and the patience that you've shown us. God, we come to your word this morning. God, we are excited, or at least I'm excited, about digging into your word today, God. And I just pray that you would search our hearts. God, just search them. And show us where our priorities might have drifted apart. Lord, help us hear your voice. Help us hear it clearly. God, help us receive the conviction that you give us when our priorities are out of whack. And God, allow us to respond humbly and in obedience. Lord, teach us to love you with all of our heart, with everything that we've got, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just push me out of the way. Lord, speak through me. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Well, yeah, it's been a minute. It's all right. I didn't forget where Luke is at, so that's a plus. I did forget what chapter we are on, though. 12. There we go. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. It's been a while. And thank you. Thank you for giving me the past 6 weeks. Whoop. Hold on a second. Thanks for giving me the past 6 weeks. I mean, if we're friends on Facebook, you kind of understand what's going on in my life right now. Okay? A lot. And it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to be here to bring the word every Sunday. Honestly, because it's going to sound weird, but this was part of the problem. Right? Being here was part of the problem. And I'll talk about why that was. I'm not leaving. I'm not quitting, but hopefully you'll understand once we're all done why it became part of the problem. We're talking about priorities, so maybe you can figure out where this is going to go this morning. But I'll send Sanders and Tim Knutson, Sanders Shumway, who filled in, and Tim Knutson, who also filled in. I'll send them a letter thanking them. But if they're watching, I really appreciate them filling the pulpit for us. I don't think I've ever heard Tim preach before, but I've heard Sanders, and he's a good dude. Like, I don't know if I know anybody who loves Jesus more than Sanders Shumway. He is on fire for Jesus, and he always has been for as long as I've known him. So I'm just so appreciative. You know, when I called him to, you know, see if he would fill the pulpit, actually, I think I emailed him. He's like, man, I don't do email. Just text me from now on or whatever. I was like, okay, cool. But he called me, and then he just prayed for me for like 25 minutes, just nonstop praying for me the entire time. It was really cool. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, Tim has reached out several times as well. So, but anyway, we'll kind of get into all the things going on. But, you know, we all need a reset every once in a while, right? I mean, if you don't need a reset, if you haven't needed a reset, then let's talk afterwards, because you are an anomaly. You're a unicorn, right? Sometimes it's our phone. How many times has your phone just kind of gone sideways? You're like, oh, man, I just do a hard restart. Everything will be good. Or, you know, obviously, I work with government computers every day, And I think we all know that the government sometimes buys the highest quality stuff, right? So we have to do a hard reset or a hard restart at least once a day, I would say, on our computers or our printers or even our network devices or whatever, right? And that's like the magic button is to just turn it off, right? Just turn it off. I mean, like you will call the communications squadron on base, and they're like, did you try to restart your computer? Like, that's their step one. We're like, yeah. I've been working with the government for like 30 years. I know step one is to reset the computer, you know, restart the computer. But we also need a reset, right? We need a reset every once in a while, and I am no stranger to that today or for the past several weeks. So over the next 2 weeks, I know this is kind of weird because Easter's coming up. You know, we'll be finishing this series and then rolling right into Palm Sunday. This is what God has placed on my heart, and this is what God has kind of been teaching me over the past 6 weeks. And I think, I genuinely think that it's going to be relevant. Something in today's message and next week's message is going to be absolutely relevant to something in your life. I'm very confident in that. But before we can reset priorities, we have to be honest enough to admit when they are out of order, right? We have to be honest enough to admit when they are out of order. Before we can fix anything, right, we have to face it, right? I mean, if you don't know, and we'll kind of get into it in a little bit, but I'm now a full-blown therapy connoisseur, right? I go to therapy. I'll start twice a week. I mean, that's how bad things are. Twice a week, starting this week. And that is forcing me to face a lot of things that I've been pretty skillful at suppressing for the past 15 years. So, but we got to ask ourselves, what really has the first place in our heart? Like, what is the number one thing in our heart that's really kind of taking, to, you know, owning the real estate? Like, what is owning the real estate in our heart? Right, and that's why this is called Check Yourself. That's what this message is. That's, you know, if you want to write down the title, it's Check Yourself. We got to check ourselves before we can do anything else. It's not called Check Your Spouse. It's not called Check Your Kids. It's not called Check the Person Sitting on the Other Side of the Sanctuary, because this sermon is definitely going to be for them, Jerry. Right? It's not that. Right? It is check ourselves. And, you know, I'm to be honest, obviously this is, I'm not preaching this message, you know, from a distance. I've literally been living this message for the past, you know, probably 7 weeks, six of which I haven't been here. So on January 21st, it was a Wednesday, I had a very real and tangible encounter with the Holy Spirit. It blew me away. I've had two super, like, just insane encounters with the Holy Spirit when I was saved and on January 21st. And it wrecked my life. It wrecked me. I was driving to work on that Wednesday. Amanda had actually left to go to Washington State to go on her, she's going on a ski trip for her birthday. So she got on Amtrak and I started heading to the base. And it's like God just, I don't know, like time just stopped and he just pretended like he was Muhammad Ali and just started beating the daylights out of me. Just like, I just felt like every encounter, every conviction was like a Muhammad Ali blow to the face. The very first thing as I was driving to base was this. He showed me that I have not been dating my wife like I should. Thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Like, my encounter with the Holy Spirit is, you're not dating your wife? Weird. He showed me that I've been prioritizing the church and my school over my family. He showed me that even when I was home, I was often not present because I was either writing a sermon or writing a paper or doing research or doing something when I should have been present with my family. He showed me that I wasn't helping around the house the way that I should. He showed me that I haven't been communicating with my family very well. And this is the one that really was like the kind of the dagger to the heart, as he showed me that I had allowed busyness to become a badge of honor. That one hurt. I mean, all of them hurt, but that one hurt bad because he was right. I mean, when is he wrong, right? But he was right. Like, I've allowed so much to enter into my life, you know, saying, oh man, it's filling my cup, being able to help this, do this, that, or whatever. In reality, my cup was so empty, and it's been empty for a long time. For a long time. And in all that overflowing schedule, all that running around, all the busyness, the lack of presence, the not dating my, all of these things had allowed me to neglect my own self and become extraordinarily overweight and unhealthy. You know, diabetes, high blood pressure. I mean, you name it, man. I got the gamut, right? Because I haven't been allowing, you know, I haven't been really, you know, yeah, I'm here Sunday, I'm here Wednesdays, you know, I try to be here all throughout the week, serving God, but in reality, am I really putting God first? If I'm putting God first, then I should be putting my family second, not the church and not my schoolwork and not all these different things. So you can kind of see how when your priorities get screwed up, it just kind of trickles into everything else, right? And as God continued to press those things on me, it started to really bring out things that I have been skillfully suppressing for at least 15 years, some of which have gone back for probably 38 years. For 15 years, I've been suppressing the fact that I have kids in here, so I'll be PG, that I've seen literal death on the battlefield. Right? I've seen bullets go through this, right? I've seen that. Right? I've seen bad guys. This is where therapy is going to help. I've seen bad guys get a 500-pound bomb dropped on them. Like, you'd be like, yeah, man, we were killing the bad guys. But that really screws with you a little bit. Really messes your head up when you see somebody. I mean, really, they're just me from a different country, right? Fighting for their own country, right? And seeing that. So I saw a lot of things. So I was diagnosed with combat-related PTSD that I've suppressed for 15 years, really probably closer to 18 years if we include my time in Afghanistan when I was there in 2003. And then 38 or so years ago, and I didn't really understand this until I talked to my therapist, but I have an aunt who's now dead, who molested me when I was between 8 and 9 years old. And I didn't understand any of that stuff because I would just have a very vivid nightmare around the same time every year. And it turns out that's around the anniversary that happened, right? And so that's a lot. I mean, even that, I mean, and this is just what I'm going to share today. There's a whole lot more that I've got going on, right? But that is the big stuff. And I became shattered. You know, everybody's asked me, you know, how are you doing? And, you know, you're living the dream, right? You know, nightmares are dreams too. you know, all those things. In reality, for the past probably 7 weeks, I've known what true brokenness feels like, right? True brokenness. And on January 24th, that's kind of when all these things that I've been suppressing kind of just boiled over, right? Things that I've really skillfully been keeping down, boiled over. And I found myself sitting in my living room. Nobody was home, and I had my 9mm in my hand. It was tough. Amanda was gone. She was actually, I think, she was on a train. She was in a mountain with very poor cell service. So you guys know Caitlin, right? A good friend of mine, Caitlin. So she came over and sat with me for about 8 hours, and we talked about a whole lot of nothing. But Caitlin and Genevieve doesn't know that, but Genevieve really is the one that saved my life. You know, thinking that, how would you want your 15-year-old daughter to come and find her dad on the living room floor? So I don't say any of this to be dramatic. I say this because it can happen to anybody. When our priorities are so screwed up, it can happen to anybody. You're going to have a pastor preaching on Sunday and privately unraveling on Saturday. You can have a husband look strong on the outside but falling apart on the inside every single day. A man can convince himself he's doing important things while neglecting the most important things. A believer can love Jesus and still become buried under disorder, exhaustion, pain, trauma, and despair. That's why priorities matter. That's why making Jesus number one always matters. Because when priorities get out of order, the damage doesn't stay small. It's not a small little nucleus, right? No, it spreads into everything, right? And if we're going to experience real reset, we have to check ourselves. In Luke chapter 12, verse 34, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." So it's a very short verse, but it goes to the center of what the issue is. Jesus isn't telling us that our hearts, it's telling us that our hearts follow treasure. So what we value most, what we pursue most, what we protect most, what we prioritize most, reveals where our hearts are. It reveals where our hearts are at. You can say all day long that we're putting God first. Right? And if we're putting God first, so I don't know if you know this. Probably 7 weeks ago was when I stopped doing it. But if you've ever driven by the church on a Sunday evening at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you would see my truck there and the lights on, because I'd be trying to finish all of my homework, right, for school, instead of being at home with my family, right? So my priorities were so screwed up that I would literally spend 12, 15 hours here on a Sunday just to, have that quiet time to be able to finish my homework instead of, prioritizing things and just getting it done during the week. And I've thankfully figured out how to do that. I haven't had any homework due at all for the weekend for the past 6 weeks. But wherever your treasure is, whatever you treasure, your heart will follow. And if your treasure is wrapped up in ministry success, professional achievement, productivity, anything, that's where your heart's going to go. That's where it's going to start drifting towards, right? So when I say that this was part of the problem, it was because, I was serving God, and I was doing the things that you're supposed to do as a pastor, but truly my heart was serving, like, the the church or whatever, right? It's not, it's kind of hard to explain, but hopefully you kind of understand what I'm saying, right? Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm so thankful for everything that he's done in my life. But I was just like hanging out with him, like just kind of going through the motions, making this building, not God, this building a priority, right? And through that, a whole bunch of other things got screwed up. And just to be very clear, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that this is not about me, right? This is about our priorities and where our number one priority needs to be. So Jesus lovingly forces us to ask, what do I really treasure? This is not what do I say I treasure, right? We can say what we treasure all day long, but not what people think I treasure, but no, what do we truly treasure, right? Because whatever we treasure, that's where we're going to be, right? That's where we're going to be. If you look at your life honestly, what gets the first thought in the morning, right? Does your first thought go directly to God, or does it go, oh man, I got so much paperwork I got to get done at work, or oh man, I got to do X, Y, and Z here, I got to do this, or what gets your first thought in the morning? Is it God? And it's not like we've just completely got rid of God. It's just that we've allowed our lives to become so busy with all these other priorities that we've just kind of pushed them a little bit towards, you know, maybe on the back burner a little bit, right? Instead of truly having him number one. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." So the heart is the source. If the heart gets disordered, life gets disordered. I'm living proof that that is factual. Matthew 22 says, "He said to him, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.' This is the greatest and most important command." And he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5, where he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So this is not just some side command, right? Just like, hey, you should probably do this. It's not one important thing among many important things. He said it is the greatest and most important command. He's not asking for a little corner of our life. He's not asking for a little piece of our life. No, he's asking for it all. He doesn't want us to just squeeze him in when we've got an opening in our busy schedule. It's funny. I was reading something this morning, and I can't remember exactly what the quote was. But it was a pastor, and somebody had asked him, you know, maybe it was like it was a stranger that was asking him, you know, maybe. He says, "Do you have Jesus in your life?" And this pastor just matter-of-factly said, "No." He goes, "Jesus is my life. He's just not in my life. He is my life," right? And that's what I pray that, you know, through this message, through your reading, through whatever it is, that the Holy Spirit takes hold of you when we recognize that our priorities are a little screwed up or a lot screwed up in some cases, that we make him number one. He calls us to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, with everything that we've got. Everything. He's not just to be admired, he's to be loved. Not just to be acknowledged, but obeyed. And not to be included, but he's to be enthroned. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, "Do not have other gods besides me." Now, most of us might say, you know, we don't bow down to any other idols, right? We don't do any of that thing. We don't have any gods before him. Now, it might not be physical things, but they come in very common forms. An idol is anything you love, trust, fear, pursue, or serve more than God. Anything you love, trust, fear, pursue, or serve more than God. Now, I'm not going to point anybody out, but I would imagine that somebody here is probably loving something, trusting something, fearing something, pursuing something, or serving something in your life more than God. It could be a whole bunch of things. Sometimes it could be money, approval, success, pleasure, comfort, ministry, busyness, right? And one of the sneakiest idols of them all is the idol of being needed. The idol of being needed, right? That's kind of a trap that some pastors, myself included, can get in, because I love being needed, because then I get to be able to share my gifts with other people and help serve them in some kind of way. But when your desire to be needed starts encroaching on your actual relationship with Jesus, we start having a problem. Some of us love feeling important. We love being the one that people depend on. We love being busy because sometimes it makes us feel valuable. Right, like I said, I used my busy schedule as a badge of honor. Man. And we could go back and watch the tapes. I know I have said that during some messages. Man, I'm just so busy. So busy, got so much going on, got so much happening. Man, how wrong was I? How wrong was I? Busyness is not the same thing as faithfulness. It's not the same thing. We can be completely busy, incredibly busy, and completely out of order, right? Completely out of order. You can be doing many things for God while neglecting the God you are supposedly serving, right? Just look at my life for the past, prior to 6 weeks, things are kind of on a good track right now, but, about 7 weeks ago and beyond, yeah. You can be doing church things while failing the first ministry God gave you, which is your home. Guilty. All I'm doing here right now is I'm just acknowledging my sin and repenting. So that's what this message is really about. It's about all the things that I've screwed up. But I have a feeling that it's going to resonate with some piece is going to resonate with some of you. That's where a lot of us can get trapped. Now you might wonder why I have a fancy shirt up here. You've never seen me wear a buttoned-up shirt, and you never will. But, when we look at a shirt, a button-up shirt, right, we'll put her on, right? Anybody ever done this? Like, oh, man, feels so good. And then you're like, yeah, just chilling, like in your bedroom. Oh, man, I'm going to look so rad in my shirt, right? And you're just buttoning it up, trying not to get any beard hair stuck in there. Might be a problem over there, right? For Aaron. And then you're like, oh, this is the last button. And you're like, oh. That's what priorities screwed up looks like, right? You screw up the first priority, right? First priority is God, right? What happens? Everything else gets screwed up. And you end up looking like a dummy. Right? So we screw up the number one priority. This weird little illustration just shows that everything else gets screwed up. Everything. Whew. Get that thing off. But everything, right? I mean, everything gets screwed up. Everything. When priorities get out of order, the damage spreads to every part of life. Every part. Every single part. And that's what I learned in a very painful way. When I allowed church, school, schedule, responsibility, business to keep taking the front seat, it just didn't affect one little area, it affected everything. It affected my marriage. It affected my presence at home, my communication. It affected how much I helped around the house, how my physical health, my mind, my soul. It affected everything. I mean, you don't sit in your living room with a loaded 9mm if it's not affecting everything as a pastor, right? Like, maybe it's time to meet Jesus. That was a very... What's interesting is I teach suicide prevention out at the base. Like, that's part of my job. And when you get into a place where you are so convicted of all the ridiculous things that you've prioritized wrong and how screwed up everything else has become, you're not thinking so much about what you've learned in a suicide prevention class. You're thinking, I am in such despair, so broken, that you just don't care about anything else except for just meeting your Savior in the most ridiculous way. And here's the danger. Sometimes you don't realize how much damage disorder is doing until the whole system comes crashing down. You don't know. You have no idea. You can keep going. You can function. You can preach. You can go to work. You can do all of these things. But if things continue to stay out of order, then the crack in your life is just going to continue to widen. And that is the only thing the enemy needs, is a single hairline fracture in your life. And then he will just start pounding on it and pounding and pounding and pounding until he finally makes his way in. Now, do you think it was God that told me to grab my pistol? No. It was all the cracking that I had in my life that had allowed the enemy to come in and say, you know what? You would probably be better off if you just weren't here. Right? You can still smile, you can lean, you can answer texts, you can show up, but it's going to widen. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. So laboring hard and still building, or you can be laboring hard and still be building wrong. You can be sincere and still be misaligned. You can be productive and still be unhealthy. Now, some of us are experts at hiding behind productivity, right? We tell ourselves, I'm just doing what I have to do. Somewhere along the way, we stop asking the question, is this helping me love God more and love my family better? I didn't ask that question. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. What does it say? Seek first. Seek first. Not eventually, not when you have a free time, when you have an open window in your busy schedule. It says, seek him first. Seek him before you do anything else. That's what reset language sounds like. Seek him first. And when we say God is first and family is second, we're not diminishing family. We're actually protecting it. We're protecting family. Because when God is first, everything else can start falling into its proper place, including our home. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. What is the order, right? God's word is first to be in your heart, and then it will shape your home. When we let busyness and all these other things, right? All the things that I've just admitted that I was doing wrong and had my priorities screwed up. When we do all those, when I did all of those, everything else just completely went sideways. Absolutely sideways. You cannot give your family what you are not cultivating in your own soul. If I'm supposed to be feeding and leading my family, how can I do that if I'm not allowing God to just completely transform me every single day, renewal every single day? A wife doesn't need her husband who's impressive in public and absent in private, right? I would probably classify myself, maybe not impressive, but I was more present here. I was more present, you know, visiting people in the hospital. I was more present doing other things. Maybe it was schoolwork, whatever it was, than I was at my house. Your children don't need a father who's physically in the room, but mentally still at work. Now, that is one thing I can tell you that I haven't done. Well, number one, I used to be in Intel, so I could bring my work home. So Amanda always appreciated that. But even now, I it's almost like a kind of a tangible thing. When I leave my office at work every day, like when I close my office door, that's kind of like a symbolic gesture that, okay, all my work is staying in the office, and I'm just going to go home. Because this didn't happen before, right? There was a time several years ago that didn't happen, and it was bad news. It did not turn out very well for me. We need real presence in our families. Not half present, not distracted, not constantly on your phone, not always answering emails, not doing all of the things. Just because you are home does not mean you are present. We need to be present. I was not. That's one of the things God really convicted me on. I was there, but I wasn't there. Right? I had my mind on other things, whether that was, you know, trying to figure out, you know, maybe a Sunday message or maybe an event that we were doing, whatever it was, or homework, whatever. So I was at home. I was physically there, but I wasn't present. My energy was absolutely depleted. And I mean, I got some blood work to kind of answer some of those questions recently, but you know, there's things change in your life, and it's like physically when you go through this stuff. My family got whatever I had left. They didn't get everything that they should have gotten. And that's certainly not God's design. Ephesians 5 Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. It's active love, sacrificial love, intentional love. And that love doesn't happen by accident. It has to be prioritized. And it can only be prioritized if we prioritize God as the very first thing in our life. You know, I learned that dating my wife is an optional maintenance. It's critical. It has to be prioritized. It's part of loving her well. Helping around the house is part of serving our family well. And communication, it's not just a bonus feature. It is absolutely vital. It's part of walking in love. Sometimes God's convictions open the door to deeper healing. I told you about the new PTSD label I got, pretty fun. You know, and my first session with my therapist, he's a faith-based guy, so it's been really kind of cool to watch him, you know, kind of lay out some parables and, you know, quote scripture and talk about different Bible stories and things like that. It's been really helpful. But he said, you know, all of the things that I've suppressed for so long, he goes, you need to take that as a compliment. I'm like, well, I can tell you right now, I'm not, because it's not very fun. And he goes, that's God's way of saying, you weren't ready, but you're ready now to deal with it. You're ready now to to tackle it and to, you know, to kind of work through all of these different things that you've, you know, just had kind of bottled up for the past, you know, whatever, 15 to 38 years, right? That was God's way in it. And the way that he said it just kind of helped put me at ease a little bit, like, okay, I get that now. Like, yeah, maybe I wasn't ready. Well, obviously I wasn't ready, but now I am. But yeah, I was shattered. And I want to say this very carefully because somebody here might need to hear it. When buried pain rises to the surface, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting worse. Sometimes it means that God's bringing things into light because he intends to heal them. And that can only happen when we prioritize him. When we prioritize him. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit." Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. It's him, right? Caitlin came over and sat with me, but it was 1,000% the presence of God in my living room is the reason I'm sitting up here today, right? 100%. It's not far from them. He's not ashamed of them. He is near them. And if you've ever found yourself in a dark place, I'd venture to say that you have. Ever felt overwhelmed, if you ever thought that you were stronger than that and then discovered how fragile you are not beyond the reach of God's grace. You are not beyond the reach. Now the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? He wants to just ruin everything. He wants to turn disorder into despair, shame into silence, pain into isolation, brokenness into destruction. But Jesus does what? He steps in to broken places with mercy and with truth. I am so thankful for that. So thankful. John 10:10 says just what I said, right? A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That verse, I don't know, that's kind of like my anthem, right? Like, that is literally what happened to me on January 24th, on that Saturday afternoon. The enemy wants death, Jesus brings life. The enemy wants isolation, Jesus brings restoration. The enemy wants your worst moment to define you, and Jesus brings redemption even in that place. So how do we check ourselves? First, we've got to ask God to search us. Ask him to search us. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." Second thing is we need to tell the truth. Like, we can say things all day long, right? Like, "Oh, no, I'm good, blah, blah, blah," right? Like, when people ask me how I'm doing, normally I'm like, "Oh, just living the dream," right? And there's been some people that have been able to kind of see through that, right? Because nightmares are our dreams too. And I've been living one for a while. They don't want the polished version. God doesn't want the polished version. Doesn't want the church version. You know, I've caught myself even in therapy talking to because he would, you know, recite some scripture or something like that. And I'm like, well, the church answer is, he's like, "No. I don't want the church answer. What is your answer?" Right? The real version. Whether that's, "Lord, I've been distracted. Lord, I have loved my schedule. Lord, I've been absent. I have not loved my family well. I have not loved you first." Spoiler, man, he already knows. So just be honest with him. Just be honest with him. The third thing is we repent. We repent. And boy, have I done some repenting. I mean, this has crushed me, like, in the deepest sense of the word crush. of all these convictions and these realizations of what God has just really pressed upon my heart, it destroyed me. I mean, I was at Kenny's house bawling like a 2-year-old baby or an infant. I don't know how much 2-year-olds cry. An infant child, right? Because of all the brokenness that I felt, that's a good thing, right? Like, you know, if we don't get broken, then how are we going to be built again, right? It has been tough. This has been the hardest season of my life, but you know what? I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful for all that he has revealed to me and all the junk that I've had to kind of navigate through and am still navigating through, because I'm learning, right? I mean, I hope you've never thought that your pastor stands up here every Sunday as some sort of perfect person who doesn't have his own challenges or struggles, because I am definitely not. There's only one perfect person, and he hung on a cross just like that. And then the fourth thing is we make changes. We make changes. That has come surprisingly easy to me. Once you have your priorities in order, the changes are actually, at least for me, I won't say for everybody, but the changes for me have been extraordinarily easy for a couple reasons. Doing the things that I do now that I haven't done in the past has brought me an incredible amount of joy. Like, I don't know anybody here who finds an incredible amount of joy of vacuuming their house. By the way, we have 3 dogs and 3 cats. So I enjoy it. It brings me joy doing laundry, doing the dishes, doing, you know, just chores around the house, cleaning the litter box. Remember, we have 3 cats, right? Doing all of these things. It's not because I'm trying, you know, to boast myself up. It's because I've recognized through the conviction of the Holy Spirit that this serves my family. Once you do it and you kind of have this routine, I love serving my family. And it brings me so much joy because I haven't been doing that for so long, right? And just being able to serve them well like that has been awesome. We have to make those changes. It means putting time with God back in the center of our lives. Maybe it means dating your spouse again. Maybe it means saying no to some good things that you can say yes to, so you can say yes to the best things. I mean, I've said it before, saying no is like my kryptonite, right? But I just need you to know that you're going to start hearing it a lot more. You're going to be hearing it a lot more from me. Maybe it means asking for forgiveness. Maybe it's going to counseling. Maybe it's getting honest about trauma, depression, anxiety, or destructive habits. Maybe it means taking your health seriously. All of these things, this is my list of things, right? All of these things are what I have changed. And it is not weakness, it's wisdom. I've had a lot of people speaking truth and life into me. And I always tell them before we have like this meaningful conversation, I say, I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me what I need to hear. And I can tell you they have obliged in sometimes in the harshest of ways. But it's what I need to hear, right? And like I can tell you what you want to hear all day long. Like, yes, Jerry. Every time somebody scores a goal in hockey, it's 2 points, right? Jesus deserves first place because he gave everything to us. And that is the center of this message, right? It's not about me and all the things that I've gone through or I'm going through. This is about Jesus. This is about putting him number one in our lives. And it's very real to me because I've experienced this firsthand. So I'm very passionate about this at the moment, and I'll be passionate about it forever because of how much of a life changer it has been. Truth is, none of us has loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength the way that we should. Right? There has been a day or an hour or even a minute of a day where we haven't done that. Right? And if you can be honest with yourself, I think you would agree that there has been a time, even if it's just 1 minute, where we haven't done that. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus loved the Father perfectly. He obeyed perfectly. He lived with perfect devotion, and he went to the cross for disordered, distracted, broken sinners just like me and just like you. He died for us. He died for our sins, for our idols, for our neglect, for our wandering hearts. And then what happened? He rose again so that we could be forgiven. So that we could be forgiven, restored, and made new. Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." So this isn't a sermon about becoming a better, religious person. It's about putting God first. It's about putting God exactly where he belongs. So check yourself. What has first place in your heart? What gets your best? What gets your deepest love? What gets your strongest devotion? Because where your treasure is what? The exact place where your heart, will be. And if the Holy Spirit is showing you today that any of the things in your life have gotten out of order, man, take it. Just hold on to that and just do everything that you have to do. Be honest with yourself, right? Be truthful, repent, and then change. Change. When God is first, everything else can begin to fall into its rightful place. I promise you that is a factual statement. There's still some things that are a little disorganized in my life, but as I continue to work through, making sure that God is number one always, those things are slowly starting to make their way into their rightful place. And maybe this would be your prayer this morning. Lord, I have let too many things get ahead of you. Forgive me, reorder my heart. Teach me to love you first. Help me love my family well. Heal what is broken in me and reset my life around what matters most. And that's where the reset begins. So we got to check ourselves. Check ourselves and let God reset what has been out of order. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Lord, forgive us where our priorities have become out of order and help us make the changes you are calling us to make. Father, reorder our hearts and strengthen our walk with you. And Lord, help us love our families with greater faithfulness and presence and grace. Father, heal what's broken. Lord, restore what has been neglected and help us leave here ready to seek first your kingdom in every part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, well, let's...